traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Shut the f*** up. I wasn't hungry, but I had to finish my plate. And you made me fat. I would have a six-pack like Logan.
Headphones work with the bucket hat?
I think it's hilarious.
I don't think they do.
Nah. Are we rolling?
Are we rolling?
Hold on.
Hello?
We like the chaotic starts. Fam, I don't know if you guys have figured that out by now.
Does this look weird on my head?
I'm going through the same hat.
Bro, at least you got a head. What do you think Tyron Woodley's thinking today?
Man.
He don't even got a head, Doug.
I think he has a head.
Are we rolling?
Caleb, can I get a thumbs up? He got it. Thumbs up. Hey, guys, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We're here in Miami, Florida. We flew in from Tampa after my brother did something. He did something.
Violent, brutal, icy cold.
You know what they've been saying, Jake? They've been saying this. Our great-grandparents had Muhammad Ali. Our parents had Mike Tyson. Ooh. And we have Jake Paul.
Bro. That's crazy. I seen that tweet. It went viral. It has like 100K favorites or some.
Literally insane, bro. And I have some.
Muhammad Ali and I have the same birthday, and I think it's weird. I think it means something.
January
17th.
A Capricorn of sorts.
Yeah,
well said.
I'm forgetting his name.
Customato.
General Custer.
Customato, Mike Tyson's trainer, January 17th.
You know what the animal is
for?
I don't know,
man.
You know what the animal is for the Capricorn?
Goat.
The fucking goat, Jake. Yep. Paul, are you the goat?
Yeah, when I sat with Mike Tyson on his podcast, bro, he's so smart and wise. And he was sitting next to me for like 20 minutes just preaching knowledge. And he goes, bro, you're the goat. January 17th, people are not to be messed with. Like, he was like, when I told him my birthday, he was like, oh my God. He like freaked out. He literally freaked out. And he says, I see it now. It all makes sense. It all makes sense. And he goes, you need to study your astrology, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Have you been studying your astrology?
I have. I think it's super interesting. And by the way, I swear to God, I'm my mom's life. She's here. Leading up to the fight, I was envisioning manifesting the knockout. And I saw the knockout. And in my head, the vision was him falling forward in slow motion, flat on his face. And I saw it in my head, and I just was manifesting it every single time that I would meditate. And that's what happened. And December 18th was a full moon. A full moon. The highest energy in the year of the Capricorn. 2021 was the astrology's Capricorn year.
Tyron never stood a chance.
He didn't.
The stars were against
the stars. The stars were aligned, and he was fucked from the minute the bell rang.
Is he turning into one of those basic horoscopes?
Are you one of those? Because I hate those.
I'm not. There's going OD with it, yeah. And then there's just understanding that the moon literally changes the ocean's tides. That's how powerful it is. So if you don't think that energy is in you as a human being, and right, when you're born, then I think you're tripping.
I don't disagree. It's like a weird butterfly effect. Like, what if those tides never changed?
I heard Tyron after the press conference, he was like, I think it was because Mercury was in retrograde. That's what he was blaming.
Did he really?
Dude, no, he didn't say that. But I notice when Mercury's in retrograde that I am strongly affected by it. And I'm the biggest person of not believing in placebo, not letting random shit or thoughts or rumors affect my life. But when Mercury's in retrograde, I can fucking tell that shit in my life. My mood is off. I feel weird. I don't know, man.
Before we go too far, speaking of somebody else that is off.
Off what?
Off what?
There's somebody that's not on the show.
Oh yeah, so George.
Do you want it? Do you want it?
I'll do it. I'll say it.
What?
Could you just handle it?
I'll say it
properly.
So just It's a courtesy I believe we owe it to our fans, to be honest and open and transparent. And we had to actually kick George off the Impulsive Podcast immediately after giving him shares in the Impulsive Podcast. Unfortunately for him, we've revoked his shares. We've kicked him off the podcast because he upset the Island Boys, right?
I just think that it's like a natural thing that if you're a guest on the show, you deserve the respect of the host of the show. And, you know, he's been with us for what, 60, 70 episodes now?
Yeah.
And, you know, disrespect one of the guests. It was the first guest that's ever walked off the show. And unfortunately, you know, it was obviously a tough decision as a good friend of ours. But George is, as of today, I guess, no longer a member of Impulsive.
Yeah,
you guys lost me when it was like when you said Island Boys.
He was supposed to deliver it more. Yeah, he was supposed
I was gonna say you guys are bad acting right
I
now.
Did
what,
great.
What? Well, no, I felt like that was a sell until you just blew it just now.
No. Everyone here.
Guys, hello.
Raise a hand. Who believed it?
Not one hand. You set it up horribly. Guys,
I did.
Bad news. Yeah, it's okay. Omicron is flattening the earth. George Janko has COVID. He couldn't make it today. He has a bad case of Omicron.
So many people are coming down.
Everyone. Raging, wow. I think Fauci called it.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyways, Jake, I gotta say something. Let's get to the meat. Fam, you knocked out Tyron Woodley in the most spectacular fashion. I don't think there could be a cleaner knockout. I woke up the next morning stressed because, like, this shit isn't normal. I, for everyone watching, I want you to, like, know that I will never get over the shock and awe of this crazy fucking life that has found its way in everyone in this room's circle in life. And watching you do that is like watching a fucking movie happen right before my eyes, and I'm your brother. And it's so overwhelming for me to try to comprehend it. Yeah. Because I never can.
Me either. I think the only time I comprehend it is like when I'm like weeks later and I'm like by myself and I just deeply think about it. But it's so weird. It doesn't make any sense. Even Tyron Woodley said it in the post-fight press conference. He's like, you guys are literally watching a movie right now with this kid. And this is insane. Like, we're all a part of a crazy movie. Even when I'm doing the press conference after, I'm like looking at all the cameras and I'm like, wait,
you're the main character.
I'm the main character. this is weird as hell. Like
Mac Bilski, who was once the co-host on this podcast, afterwards, after that press conference, goes, I literally feel like I'm watching a TV show or a documentary film happen in front of my eyes. It was a 10 out of 10 performance delivery. And I don't know, bro. I'm so proud of you as a brother.
Thank you, man. Obviously. I felt that from you, and it means a lot because I work so hard to make you proud.
Oh, man.
Because I know a lot of people like wanted to see us fail for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me in the gym because, bro, the shit gets hard in the gym. We're both teary-eyed. We're trying not to cry.
Pam's crying. Panda Pam. Panda Pam.
But, bro, the moment you said, you know, you have to go do this for our family, I really took that.
No, you really did, bro.
To another level.
And now I'm going to tear. I'm not even in the family.
And when I'm there in training camp, sacrificing everything, you know, time in and time out, I'm just tired. I'm sore and I'm working my ass off and I have to spar and run and spar and strength and conditioning. And you know the drill. But when you do it for a year and a half straight, bro, you need to find extra motivation. And a big part of that is fighting for our family and the people around me and for our name and for everyone who, you know, in 2017 thought that we were going to fall off. And now look, so you could suck our nuts. And that's why I work so hard. I envision that. And I envision just telling, like, being able to flip everyone the fuck off. It feels so good.
Bro, you did it in the most grand way. And I thought it was so great during the interview or the post-fight press conference when you talked about you going on vacation for the first time since you were 18 years old. And you really humanized yourself. And it's funny because you haven't had the perfect upbringing and come up, and the world is literally watching the evolution of a human grow in a really natural and really entertaining and captivating way. And if you just watch you, Jake Paul, from a unbiased, objective point of view, I think you're one of the most entertaining people on the planet.
Agreed. Thank you.
Not just watching a person grow, watching a sport grow, watching a sport change.
I can't believe it.
It's a whole sport through and that's through. Been around for however long, man. Like actually changing the entire landscape and environment of an entire sport.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. Everybody has a big idea for a side hustle or an online business and a million excuses why they're not getting after it. You don't have a website. It's too expensive. It's too complicated to get started. Forget all of that. Cash Drop is a free e-commerce app that lets you start an online business and start selling in minutes. And unlike other e-commerce platforms, there's no websites to design, no cost or subscription, and no seller fees ever. This is literally the fastest, easiest way to start an e-commerce shop. Turn your link into in your bio into a business and start making money on social media. Launch a free online shop with all the features you need, plus video banners and two-tap checkout with no annoying sign-ins or apps for your customers to download. This is the decade of the hustler, and everybody should have an online store. Quit that stupid job you hate and turn your big idea into a legit business. It's 2022. If you don't have a side hustle or an online business, what are you waiting for? Download Cash Drop from the App Store or by clicking the link in the description and launch your online business today. Cha-ching. Back to the...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? You know, and people like to, you know, put quotation marks around athlete, which I think is the funniest thing.
That's not.
I think it's the funniest thing. But now not, it's like, what can you say?
The gig's up.
It gigs up.
It's like, you're legit.
Man, we've been athletes since day one.
I was going to say, that's one thing I wouldn't put quotes around. You guys are both athletes, natural born athletes. What?
I want to go to the NFL after this. Like legitimately just to play like safety and just deck people. No, I swear to God. And I'm about to bring hella ratings to whatever team I'm on.
Where would you want to go if you can go to any team?
Shit, the Browns. Hey. Bring it back. Like, would you have ever thought I would play for the Cleveland Browns? No, right?
I don't know.
That would be crazy.
Football takes...
Bro, you could run a 4.3 40.
But football takes so much
I could
skill.
Run a 4.3 40.
He's the fastest man on the planet.
I proved it in Mr. Beast Creator Games.
And the Challenger Games.
I caught an Olympic sprinter. especially the Challenger Games.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we could do what? It.
I have the size, the power. I can knock people out with one punch. So why can't I play free? Why can't I play free safety?
NFL players be talking shit sometimes, and some of them are in support of you, Patrick Mahomes, like your knockout. But
yeah, those
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you think you coming into the NFL would be the equivalent of like when an NFL player says, or a basketball player, any athlete says, I'm going to try to box now?
No, because I played football my whole life.
You had hands. You had. This guy can catch.
One-handed catch.
Receiver? This guy can catch.
Remember when
who was at that flag football game?
Yeah, the flag football. No, I was just
I was
saying,
there.
Bro, what
I was
the
there,
fuck?
I against you.
When I had a one-handed catch over you,
dog,
like some sick shit.
That was that. That's what you say. He growing up. If it touches his hands, he catches it.
Yeah, I got.
I can't believe it.
I got hands. But that's what I'm saying. That's not the equivalent. If you just start boxing as an NFL player, you're gonna get fucked up. But I've been playing football my whole life, and it's much different than boxing. It's more simple in a way. And I know it's very tough, and the defense is intricate, and you have to put in so much time to understand all the plays and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's coverage, knowing your plays, and then just being fast and willing to sacrifice your body to make a tackle.
Could you be a team player?
You
have
you might
to rely,
be right.
You have to rely on 10
you
other
You might be
people.
Right. That's why I quit eventually because yeah. I was like, yo, my team sucks. Like Westlake High School, like we sucked.
Hold on a second.
You're, My grade. Your grade was great.
I got to stand up for the Demons.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were undefeated. My grade, awful. Everyone went to the private school, St. Ed's. They all left. And so all of our best players went to the private school, and we sucked. And I was like, yo, I don't want to be a part of this shit, because I can't change anything. Yeah. I can only do so much as one person. That's why I started focusing on wrestling. But yeah, I guess that's translated to boxing now.
Let's unpack the fight. A little bit.
A lot happened.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Walk us through, because a lot of the conversation obviously has been around the knockout, which was absolutely insane. And by the way, has its own storyline built into it with people talking about this and that. And maybe we talk about that. What about everything that happened leading up to that? How did you feel the fight was going? You got MMA'd a couple times. I saw you get suplexed.
Yeah,
you got
took
DDT'd.
You down.
You
elbowed your forehead. You got a cut, dude. You haven't even replaced your bandages. You're insane.
My mom's a nurse. She's the one telling me. She's advising me.
Yo, no offense, ma. If you can zoom into his forehead right
pull
now,
the hat off.
I can only imagine the infections taking place as we speak.
It's fine,
ma.
Bro.
It's not fine, bro.
If you drink tequila, it kills all the bacteria.
I don't disagree with that.
So, wow. Where do I start with this fight?
He doesn't even have stitches, dude. The was
it was
it's
massive.
He put on a butterfly
thing. And Logan comes up to me in the ring and goes, yo, just like, I need to film a video. Just like, just chill for a second. It's going to hurt. And I go, what do you, like, you and he goes, ah! I was like, what the hell? And then 5 seconds later, someone showed me it in like a camera, like the selfie. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, you were.
This is a giant cut.
You were cut.
It's talking. That's what we used to say. If the cut can talk, you probably need
it's
stitches.
It's literally talking.
Hey, guys. Hey.
That's a good rule of thumb, actually.
Yeah, if it's talking, you need stitches.
So the fight was, we both came out with a lot of respect for each other. And that's what made it weird. It was way more of a chess match and slower pace. And I think that's why people like, you know, we're a little upset with what was going on. But, bro, he has one punch knockout power, and I have one punch knockout power, and we both know that. And so that is why you see, like, almost a stalemate. And I'm not trying to get knocked out. Yeah. He's not trying to get knocked out. It was a much different fight than the first time, and, you know, you saw that all the way through. I wasn't feeling good, though. Like, something was off, and I need to figure it out because – and maybe it's my experience – but I feel so good in sparring. I feel so good in the locker room, even like leading up to the fight.
He knew it.
And
he
I was like, I was it. Like so fast and like boom in the locker room. And then, bro, fighters go through this. Of course, it's like a thing.
I was trying to tell mom, you know, we're humans. Sometimes you have off days.
Yeah.
Most times you have off days. How often are you 100% of yourself?
It's crazy. You train for hundreds of hours. For 31 minutes. The fight's 31 minutes. And so if you're not, for some reason, on that day, like even in sparring sessions, I'm sparring 3 times a week. Maybe every other week on a random sparring day, I'm just on fire. And there's nothing to it. There's no science to it. It's just like
you think
things
it's more,
add up.
You think it's more mental or physical that dictates the day that it's going to be a good day?
I think it's
day.
Just chance.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything.
No, but I just mean
I think
like
it's more
one?
Mental for
got
sure.
It, got
more because some days I go into sparring and I'm sore, super sore. And I'm like, yo, today's not going to be a good day. And then I'm warm up and I'm like, bro, I'm on fire today. I'm in the zone. So it's just so weird that you train all this time for one chance at it, one crack at it. Because you look at any other sport, and this is what makes it amazing. I mean, you look at any other sport besides like Olympic track, the Olympics, really, where you have one chance. Football, you get repeated. You can learn from your mistakes.
You
can go at it again. You could have a bad play and get another chance to do another drive. Or you could have a bad shot. In boxing, there is not that, which is why you make so much money in it and why it's so entertaining, because there's no excuses.
You got balls that clank, brother. it's very high risk, very high reward.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done it successfully time and time and time again, bro. I saw this little collage of the people you've knocked out, and they all end up in the same position. Just face down on the mat. No wonder Masvidal and Nate Diaz left.
Yeah.
Doc, they ain't trying to fight you. I talked to both of them before you were up.
And what'd they say?
None of them seemed stoked. I don't even, like, why did they come?
Fans, maybe to support, Oh, Nate was there for his the guy who was fighting on the undercard is one of his fighters.
He won.
And then I don't know why Masvidal came.
Are you, so so weird. Are you eyeballing any of that?
100%. I want to fight both of them for sure. And it's there. It'd be the biggest money fight for either one of them. And Masvidal's like, you, I either fight the best people or I fight for money. And you're neither one of those. You ain't paying the right amount of money. Masvidal, I got an offer for you right now. $5 million guarantee.
Ooh.
Plus... Ooh. Plus percentage of pay-per-views. Oh, that's the most you would ever have made as a fight.
Oh, my God.
Ever. So now you can't say, I either fight the best or I fight for money. $5 million guarantee plus pay-per-view. Let's make it happen. That's the most you would ever have gotten paid, period, times triple. Daddy Dana just has to let you out of your contract. You work for the UFC. You're a bitch, basically. So that's what I'm saying. I'm down for either one of these guys. And, and I think they say that they're about it, and it seems so obvious. Like, the general public looks at it and is like, oh, yeah, Masvidal and Nate Diaz would kill Jake Paul. These dumbasses don't understand that boxing is a different sport than MMA, and that is literally light work.
Masvidal left the arena, went straight into a tanning bed afterwards to film his response video. What was he sitting in? It was like some sort of infrared did you see
he was in like a sauna or some
glowing red, yeah, and said that
weird. He has a weird content team for sure. Hey bro, when you get hit that much, Kamaru Usman slept him. His MMA record's like 20 and 20 or 30 and like 30. He basically wins one fight and then loses a fight.
But the name. Like,
but he's Street Jesus.
He's, oh yeah. And it's so weird how some people develop a brand that's so likable, like him, where it's like he's like he started street fighting in the back with Kimbo Slice. Like, he's really tough. No, you game bred. Game bred.
All right, hold on.
Wait, hold on.
I gotta back you up a little bit. Just as far as MMA is concerned, he clearly has proven himself.
How?
Hey, wait, whoa. Don't include me in this. I love Jorge Masvidal.
By the way, great brand.
Well, he's
not
stood
great
the test
fighter.
Versus a lot of good fighters.
Hey,
we beat Diaz and pretty stunned.
Diaz is not good. Look at their records. Everything is numbers don't fucking lie, bro. I'm undefeated. Motherfuckers are undefeated. Diaz literally wins one fight, or he wins two fights and then loses one.
It's true.
Two fights, loses one. Fuck that.
All right, so backing up, even their narrative, though, which was always, I'll go in the boxing ring and destroy this motherfucker, has now changed. Because in that message from the Hiroshima bombing that he took,
exactly,
he asked you, instead of
boxing, come to the UFC.
You in the octagon.
Yeah. Let me come work for the UFC. I make more than every UFC fighter fucking combined, including Conor. Y'all work for fucking Dana. Y'all work for WME Endeavor. That's who you work for. I make more than all of you silly motherfuckers. Why would I go into the UFC and sign a contract to give away my fucking rights and shit? I own my content. I own my platform. I own everything. They don't own shit. They're literally employees.
What if it wasn't?
I'm a fucking CEO, and every UFC fighter is a employee. Get that straight. I'm not coming over there and doing shit with you. Suck my nuts, bro. I need a shirt that says "suck my nuts" because I don't know how else to just express myself. Literally.
You're doing a pretty good job right now.
Your shirts have been on point lately.
Oh, shit.
Shit. Holy shit.
How could something like that have even happened?
Your shirts have been on point lately. The Tommy Fury shirt was insane. I want to ask you this before we go to Tommy. What if it wasn't UFC and Dana said, you know what, I want to see this happen? And you had the if it was not financial, could an MMA fight ever happen? Would you ever consider training for the Octagon ever?
After I'm like 10-0, maybe 12-0.
Got it.
After I fight probably Canelo, and I sort of want to go back on my point earlier. Like, it's not to demean every UFC fighter, because obviously you want to be a part of a big platform, of course, and
Jake.
I feel like I came off a little strong, but like, but like, when these guys are talking to me and talking shit online, that's when it's just like, y'all have no idea what you're talking about. You know?
What about Usman?
And by the way, it's fucked up. And so the point I'm making is like, their employees, I'm a CEO, but the point I'm making also is like, the situation that they're in is not good and it needs change. But don't try to play the CEO boss shit with me and offers and talk negotiations and money, because I'll run circles around all these motherfuckers. Breaking news. Tyron Woodley's Instagram post. They thought a lesson would make me quit. That shit made me laugh. I've been here before. Bounce back. But y'all real funny with the memes. Some of that shit, I gotta laugh at myself. People talented at Photoshop and editing. Might as well get paid for it. Here you go. 5 bans to the funniest video / pic. Rules below. He's giving $5,000 to the person with the funniest meme.
That's pretty cool.
Dog. Tyron's mom, after the fight,
that came up to me.
No, she came up to me and she goes, she points to you. She goes, I love that boy. I was like, me too. Yeah. I go, he's not so bad, huh? She's like, I love him. I mean it. And she was just looking at me in the eyes. And
that, this is genius.
This whole family is
Woodley is goated for this.
Yeah.
Definitely not the funniest thing she said after the fight.
Woodley is goated for this. And this might change. This post might change boxing forever, or combat sports forever.
Why?
Just how to handle a loss.
Yeah.
I've never seen someone do this.
That's awesome.
This is incredible.
Dude.
And I've been texting Woodley a little bit. I just show like mad respect. This is sick.
Yeah.
Don't take this as like so many. Everyone's observing, but how many motherfuckers have the balls to get in there? Who cares about the outcome? It might be embarrassing and people will make fun of him. Who cares? He doesn't care. He's richer than all of the motherfuckers commenting.
Facts.
So this is goated. You made Tyron. And I respect the Tyron for this. This is sick.
We interrupt this podcast to bring you a program. This episode is sponsored by Extra. Extra is the first debit card that lets you build your credit and earn reward points, just like a credit card with no credit checks, no interest, and no need to switch banks to sign up. Here's how it works. Users connect Extra to their existing bank account. Extra spots them for everyday purchases. Users auto pay Extra the next business day. And at the end of the month, all payments are tallied up and reported to credit bureaus. Users can also redeem points for every purchase they make. So sign up for Extra with the link in my bio and start building your credit with a debit card. Yes, a debit card. Thank you. Back to the podcast.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You've been trying to make changes in the boxing space already. What'd you think of that Serrano fight? Warriors. Both of them.
I thought so. I was in the locker room, just sitting there like watching it, because I still had a bunch of time to warm up, and she almost like dropped her in the first round. Yep. So I spring up. I'm like, oh god, I gotta start warming up. Amanda Serrano just is one of the most exciting female fighters ever. The power comes forward. Body shots, crazy, and Miriam is so tough.
The only reason there wasn't a knockout in that fight is because of the toughness of
Miriam. And she went the distance. She went the distance with Katie Taylor, but definitely didn't take as much damage as Amanda Serrano gave her. Which means now it's like Amanda Serrano versus Katie Taylor, so interesting, because they both went the distance with that same fighter, but who did more damage? And that's why it's such a big fight coming up.
I mean, how you judge damage? Because I saw her face after the fight. That's what I would call damage.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Mike saw her at the airport, Gutierrez. Mm-hmm. With big old swollen face. He said something nice to her.
I went up to her. I reached my hand out. I said, I just want to let you know, you're a fucking warrior.
Yeah.
Everyone that watched that fight has the utmost respect for you.
Yeah.
You're an incredible, combat sports athlete, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she said, I don't speak English. And I said, damn. Okay, bye. I said, okay, bye.
Thank you, bye.
Just walked away. What are you doing in that situation? I tried to tell the guys that she was with, and they were like, Warriors, bro. Like two absolute warriors. And Serrano's a monster, bro. You got a great little combo.
You signed her to Most Valuable Promotions too, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that's insane, the things you're doing for the sport. You have a promotional arm. You're the athlete. You're the media company. You have Boxing Bullies, philanthropic thing, arm as well.
Foundation, yep.
Yeah. You've signed Amanda Serrano, a female fighter. I'm really proud of you, man. I'm really proud of you.
Team 10 is actually about to happen, except there's just one person left. This is
Team 10 in boxing.
Yeah, it literally is.
And by the way, 10 times better because, you know, I won't even go into that. Amanda Serrano deserves it. And she posted something on Twitter last night, and it made me so happy. I was just like smiling, like actually, she posted a picture of her smiling in the gym, and she goes, "Now I realize that I'm a millionaire."
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah,
so dope.
Awesome.
She's getting paid a million plus.
She's getting paid what she deserves.
A million plus.
Jake,
to fight Katie Taylor, which is what she deserves. This girl is 40 fights in and was getting paid $50,000, $60,000. At max, which is crazy. And now the trickle-down effect of what that will do for fighter pay in general, and then more so even on the women's side.
Women's sports.
Who have been taken more advantage of in boxing since day one.
Boxing, basketball, I mean.
Everything.
Tell Mike what you told me about Amanda's routine and just her lifestyle.
She doesn't have a phone. She doesn't have a boyfriend. And all she does is box 2 to 3 times a day. And she lives with her sister, who's a boxer, and her coach. And she's more dedicated than any other person. It is 24/7 boxing. It's like a movie, or it's such a crazy thing to think about. Like you say, like she doesn't have a phone, but to actually think about that, like she doesn't use GPS. She doesn't text in this day and age. To not have a phone, to only focus on your craft. The only other person that I know that does that is
Quentin Tarantino.
Jesus,
I don't know about that, but what's his name?
Jesus,
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh yeah. Oh,
so wow. You're talking about goats that do this. Quentin Tarantino.
Jesus.
Kendrick Lamar, yeah. Jesus, yeah. And Amanda Serrano, yeah. Don't have phones.
That's a squad. That's a fucking squad.
I ain't fucking with that squad.
And that's how you know she's the greatest female fighter of all time. And people are like, oh, you signed her. Like, good job. No, I'm lucky that she wanted to sign with me. It's the opposite way around. Like, she already did all the work. Now I'm just putting the flashlight and shining the light on her.
But that's really important because not many people have done that in the space, especially at such a young, disruptive age, man. Yo, you're 24. That is horrifying.
Damn.
That is horrifying.
When I was 24.
What were you doing at 24, Michael? Well,
much different scene.
No, I'd like to paint the picture. Didn't you write a book about it?
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
If you were 24, exactly 50 years ago.
Yeah. Probably lighting up a big old crack rock right now in celebration of Jake's win or something like that.
You've been celebrating? How's it feel?
No crack, probably, right?
No crack.
I haven't really been celebrating.
No?
It's only Monday. It's been 30, 40 hours.
Yeah.
We had the Boxing Bullies charity fundraising event, which went amazing. Shout out to Robbie from Canada.
How much did you raise?
We raised $1 million.
Wow.
Insane. Insane.
For people that don't know about the foundation, just remind them again, what is that $1 million going towards?
Yeah.
It goes to put boxing gloves in the hands of kids worldwide, and we're renovating as many gyms as possible worldwide to bring new boxing bags, new rings, new everything, new equipment, new paint job.
Sick.
To gyms all around the globe, and to fight back against bullying and cyberbullying. And I've said the message before, but I'll reiterate. You know, I was a bully and it's not cool. And then when I started doing my thing, people were cyberbullying me and it affected me. And I think someone just needs to have a voice against it in this generation, because it's so easy to make a fake Twitter, have a fake profile, and just like be so negative in life. But those comments and things are actually affecting people out there. So I just wanted to fight back against that. And we raised $1 million. That is insane. And the effect that that has, it's uncomprehendable.
Did I hear you say you're going to renovate a gym in La Perla in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, we are. We did.
You already did?
Yeah, we already did.
The one you sparred at. The waterfront.
The one on the waterfront.
No way.
Where they filmed Despacito.
So sick.
So it's almost done being renovated right now. But yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
and,
it's really cool.
And you know, these are the things that are just so touching, because I met with the gym owners, and they're like, no one's ever helped us. The government doesn't give us any money. We've been struggling. We've been blah, blah, blah. Like, this is life changing. And they're just so ecstatic.
Mm.
And they're just like beaming with energy because their gym is being renovated.
Yep.
And that those are the types of things that I love, maybe more top three, maybe more than anything, but they're like top three. Like giving, you get, even with my team, you know, like just giving them gifts for Christmas, you know, that was
Rolex.
So yes, that was everybody. It did more for me probably than it did for them. And it's, I don't know.
So you're selfish.
Isn't that funny?
I'm adopting like the Mr. Beast model in a way. Like, I love it. I don't know.
Speaking of bullying, who will stand up for the Island Boys?
They got into a fight my fight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, correct, it's been a rough go for them since they walked off the center compulsive. It's been a rough go.
Man, it has been. I've seen them getting tossed.
It was a rough go since they were born.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
And by the way, on that note, my mom was not too happy with how that episode went, because she texted me and she said, you know, like these kids have had not the best upbringing. Probably didn't come up in the best circumstances.
Boo fucking who?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Boo hoo.
But it did introduce me to that angle at least. And you know. Anyway, so they come to the fight, watch them walk in. By the way, no reaction bigger. Not for Diaz, not for Masvidal, not for anyone. No reaction bigger than the reaction for the Island Boys.
They were getting booed.
They were getting booed. They were getting stuff thrown at them. People were chasing them with their fists drawn back. Oh, like, how dare you walk off impulsive? The world's number one podcast.
Yeah.
And they got to their seats. They had more security than anyone else in the arena. And they stood there and just got heckled the whole fucking time. And honestly, like, you know, but back to it, dude. Like,
well, you've been in that position.
I guess what I was going to say is, like, you kind of almost have to feel for them a little bit.
I've been there. You know, I feel for them, but not really.
Here's
but
why.
Not really.
Here's why.
The difference is like, they're punks. Like, and you see that through and through. And I think they're entertaining, and I follow them because they're entertaining. Yeah. I love to see the stupid shit that they say. but they're punks. Like, when he stood up to George and said, "I'm thugging." Like, do you know what that means?
You know I'm thugging.
You know I'm thugging, right? Like, you weigh 90 pounds.
That, yeah, there's a weight limit.
You, do you know what that actually means? Like, have you seen Scarface? For you have the audacity to stand up to George Janko, the nicest guy in the world, and say, "I am thugging." You're a fucking punk. With the palm trees coming out of their head. Like, get shut.
He's making a point.
Shut the fuck up. And I was watching it. Like, I wish I was there, because I would have been like, oh, you're thugging? That's crazy. You're thugging? That's crazy, bro. Wait. You're thugging? That's crazy. I would have smacked the shit out of him.
No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have.
I probably would have.
I'll tell you why you wouldn't have.
I probably would have.
I know you wouldn't.
No, because, bro, I don't get mad when people say anything to me. If I'm in altercation, you can't rile me up.
But
if someone goes at my friend
100%.
Or my brother or any of my loved ones, I will slap the fucking shit out of you.
I can relate to that so much. So fucking much.
I go, you're thugging? That's crazy. You know what I say with all these tough guys? All these MMA fighters and shit who like think they're so cool. And it might not be the best thing to say.
Are you sure you want to say
yes,
it?
Yes, I am, because I just it's just funny. Because I guess the point it proves about what I'm going to say is like, humble yourself and shut the fuck up and stop trying to act so hard. That's because what I'll say is, and what I say to all these tough guys in my head, and I guess now I'm saying it publicly, is, are you bulletproof?
It's a good question.
Then shut the fuck up.
It's a good question to be asking nowadays.
Then shut the fuck up.
So the question you're asking, are you actually thugging, is a question that was asked to them by an actual thug. So I don't know if you guys saw this TikTok, but they got pulled up on. Where was that, David?
Oh, no.
It was somewhere in Florida by a car, and they said, yo, you really? Know you're thugging? We're actually thugging. And when you come to this neighborhood, you ask first. You have to check in. You have to check in. And they said, what did he say? I'm sorry. Whatever.
But exactly not, my sorry, point.
I watched the whole thing.
Exactly
video.
My point. There's you don't fuck around in this world.
Yeah. The only thing I will say in their defense is they're very young. And you know, let's be honest, at one point, definitely you and probably your brother as well could have been conceived as punks. You guys, you know, and you're at 20, 19 years old, 20 years old.
What are you fucking talking
about? All
right,
leave Logan out of it. There was no point in your career where you ever,
not one,
you know, said something that you wish you could take back or acted
a
certain way.
Yeah, made mistakes, but not punks. And at the end of the day, I always looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm a great person. And, no one in the media can change that.
Got it.
I was joking, bro. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. I was worried there for a second.
What were you talking about?
I was scared. I thought I was about to get in a fucking...
We're punks. We're punks, dude. You climbed on top of a media van. What the fuck are you saying, dude?
That
right now. They're like, my son.
Look at his face trying to figure this out. He's trying to figure it out.
No, I'm trying to have an objective point of view.
Okay,
for
okay,
sure.
Okay, okay.
To
compare
it. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. It's just so different. It's so different. Like, oh, I climbed on a ladder of a news van.
Can I tell you why it's different?
It's different.
Can I tell you why it's different?
Because I don't have face tats and say I'm thugging.
No. Yes. I was going to say, it comes down to substance, I think. You were up to some shit back then. Even, you know, you were a punk, but you had some rocket fuel in your tank.
Yeah, it was a real brand. I don't know.
Let's not go into all that shit. Regardless, what I'm saying is, a part of the arc and the trajectory that put you where you are right now on top of the world is learning from mistakes that you made, whatever they are. And so the only thing that you can hope for those two kids is that before something tragically fucking bad happens to them, they're able to glean whatever learnings from their mistakes and start to arc it into positive.
The thing is that real bad people and real people who fucking do stupid shit aren't around anymore. So like, I don't know.
Why does it feel like the buzz after this fight is actually like quieter than Nate Robinson, even though it was a bigger deal? Like, are people getting used to you just fucking people up?
I guess so. And I think there was a lot more to say after the Nate Robinson, because there were so many point of views and what's next, and the conversation was new. So when you first start talking to someone or anyone, there's more to be said.
Is that why?
So, and now it's like, it's more specific. And now people are like, wow, I get this. Mm. So they maybe don't even have an opinion. They're just observing.
Mm.
So what I think what's next is the biggest conversation. What?
I don't know.
Is the biggest conversation point right now. Tommy Fury. Any message? I'm sure you've already delivered it once, maybe. But anything to Tommy Fury on this beautiful Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning?
No. Not that I can think of. I don't really have anything to say to him.
I think I think he made a smart decision. Probably.
he did. It would have been worse for him. And that's what people don't realize is there. Everyone's critique of this fight is, still, fight a real boxer. I'm like, you fucking dumbasses. I tried to, and he pulled out. You stupid idiots. Like, you guys are all fucking sheep bird brain motherfuckers. I've lost faith in society.
Yo, join the club. Like, join the club.
Like, fully, fully, fully. It's sad. It's sad how stupid people are.
No, actually. It's not. No, it's not.
It
no,
is.
It's not.
It
and,
is.
And I'll tell you why it's not. We need these people. We need these people, Jake.
We don't.
We do. We need the drones. We do. We need the drones.
We don't.
To comment on this and that and buy the thing and have an opinion that they feel is important. And I mean, I'm sorry. That's the way the world works. It's how any hive or colony works. There's people that go from zero to one and back and forth and back and
but
forth.
But like this many, there's like 8.1 billion of us now.
Like the set.
And I would say like
the world.
I would
is so
say
vast.
Like 1 million of them.
Have brains.
Have brains.
what was the old adage? The world needs ditch diggers too. There's 7.9 people digging ditches out there right now. It's just a huge hole in the ground.
I'm more talking
people
about like
so
I'm,
mad
I'm more talking
for
about
saying
like a,
this, but like
no, bro. I'm talking no because I have a whole fucking opinion on this, dude.
Same. I think this for hours.
I think our
about
race,
how stupid people are.
I think our race needs a re-up. I think humanity needs to have like a hunger to learn and be better and grow and adapt. And 99.9% of people, I just don't think have that. And that's why you're you, bro.
And to not play victim.
That's hard.
I think I like that's the biggest problem is most people in our generation play victim in anything. And everything in life happens to them. And why was I given this life?
Destiny.
And shut the fuck up. Yeah. Seriously. Shut the fuck
I
up.
I definitely feel that. 100%.
We all have the same opportunity and things laying in front of us. It's what? About who wants to take the steps to get there and go get it through all adversity.
Shoulder through it.
Put
through
your fucking head down.
Yeah.
And this, like we're all born with the same opportunity. And that's what oh no, he was born into a rich family. What does that mean? Does that make the person who was born into a rich family, does that mean that person's happy? Does that mean he has a fulfilling life? Does that mean he's passionate about anything? Those things are arguably more important than money. So
I am unprepared for socioeconomic diversity conversation today. I have to be completely honest.
I'm unprepared
with
too.
I would prefer to stick with these people punching each other in the head as long as possible.
Sorry.
I'm just
pissed off, to be honest. So that's why it's coming up.
Well, I mean, I listen, that conversation is incredible, worthy, educational for the set of people watching this. I am just not prepared for today. And I would love for you to be a part of it if we were to have someone maybe that's a little bit more versed on the topic.
Yeah, someone should like check us too.
No, that's what I'm
rebuttal
trying to
them.
Say. That's what I'm
but
trying to say.
I'm just pissed off about it, so that's why I feel like it's coming up.
What about the other brother, the one opposite you? What do you think about his current trajectory in the fight game and the career path? What do you got anything you want to say to him? Any message for your bigger little brother today? Little big brother.
I don't know. I don't know if I do. I think he's being super creative and having fun.
I like that.
And I think if I was him, I would do the exact same thing that he is doing. And he is, you know, 26 and on top of the world and living his best life and finding ways to make absurd amounts of money off of the things he's passionate about, which is what my point was earlier.
Yep.
Was, you know, you could be very fulfilled as a human if you just find out what makes you happy. And I see that in him. And you know, there's a lot of stuff out there about like Logan's going through this, he's going through it, and I'm like, I don't actually think so.
Well, that's been partially our fault.
Yeah, because you guys like play into it.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys like play into it, but I'm like, I think he knows exactly what he's doing,
100%,
and he's having fun as a 26 year old, living his best life, traveling around the world and making content. I don't know if you talked about the project, the secret project yet.
Not yet.
You haven't, so. People don't know that, so they just think he's going crazy, but really he's turning it into such value. And he's as big as it gets. I mean, and his hand is hurt. I don't know if people know about that.
Yeah, I know.
They know your hand's broken. Yeah. So I mean, I know as soon as he feels better, he's gonna be back in the gym, and I think he should keep fighting. But
that's why?
About it.
But why? You
keep
did it.
Fighting?
You did it for the whole family, man. What am I gonna do? What can I do? Does it get like you
it just
raised the bar so high Maybe I'll just be the drunk high brother.
No, you need to fight.
You gotta stop.
My mom's throwing things at me.
You have to fight. Shut up. All right. I'm making you fight. All right. Bro, it's brand building and it's absurd amounts of bags. And it puts you into a healthy mindset for a little while so that you could go and fuck it all up again.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool.
This is interesting.
We're good at building. We're better at destroying.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Great.
But we need it. You need it. The person that you are, you need competition and that fight. You need it. And I don't know if you even know it.
No, I do. I do. I feel it every time you have a massive fucking knockout. Because, like, bro, I'm envious. I think it's so cool, you know? But you're doing so good at it. And I see the work you put in. And I know I can activate and flip that switch. But
so does that mean that I shouldn't make a podcast because you have an amazing one? No.
No. Just boxing. Boxing has implications. Boxing has health implications that I actually am slightly concerned about.
Yeah, which is definitely another conversation, but also so does, you know, drinking and smoking.
Also true. Like, so what's worse?
Exactly.
I don't know
what's worse is doing all of them. Boxing, drinking, smoking.
I'm loving this conversation about the dichotomy of the two brothers fighting and your thoughts on. Is that part of you there that feels like you're discouraged to fight because he is doing such a good job of it and you feel like is that a real thing?
It's the decisions we make in our life, and we are so fucking blessed that this is how decisions are made, aren't always based on money or attention or clout. He did it on behalf of like both of us. Like, what the? And by the way, I'm going to, but I feel that my brother has checked a box for the family, and I'm so satisfied with, like, bro, we did some pretty sick things for boxing this year, you know?
You fought Floyd Mayweather.
So, like, I could never box again, really, and be totally fine with it.
That would be legendary. But also, you could make $20 million fighting again.
And I will, because, again, when I see these motherfuckers hit the canvas, this fire in me, I'm like, what the fuck? Jake's the coolest guy ever right now, bro. Bleeding from your face. As a man drop the whole arena. Bah! That's a sick feeling, man.
And impossible to recreate.
But honestly, it's right here. It's right here for me. How many people is it right there for?
Yeah.
So, like, if I just do that.
But I know you will.
I will eventually. I have to. I love this sport. It's fucked.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ma.
But. No, it's definitely interesting.
I gotta get back because to shape.
But I remember we were sitting in the pool in your training camp for Floyd. And it's so weird. I was almost thinking what you were saying in that exact moment. But you go, dude, I love this lifestyle. There's nothing greater than this. It is pure happiness when you are in the best shape of your life. Not having sex. You have so much energy. You are focused on yourself. And you are...
I'll still be fucked.
No. But when you're not, though,
I still be fucked.
It's like finding happiness in the most amount of sacrifice. And I remember you saying to me, like, I love that. There's nothing better than this. Like, I'm getting paid to be in the best shape of my life, and to work hard, and I feel energized. And your serotonin levels are completely balanced.
Yeah.
And every day you wake up, like, in a good mood.
That's so awesome. Like, I've never heard someone put it like that before. Almost like the discipline is a drug of its own.
It's
like you're overdosing on discipline and that daily wake up and that equilibrium that is perfectly balanced at all times. Serotonin, dopamine firing based on your workouts, and your mental health is perfect. Your physical health is perfect. That sounds awesome.
It's way better than any other drug. Like, I was even feeling it right now, like today. I've been eating whatever the fuck, like random food. Yep. You know, I was gluten free for the cramp. Now I start eating random shit. I start, you know, drinking a little bit, and I like am in a bad mood today. And I'm like,
yeah, those levels.
Why? And I'm tired. I'm tired for what? I know I just fought, but like, I shouldn't be this tired. Like, I shouldn't feel like I could nap at any point.
Mm-hmm. You're coming off the healthiest lifestyle ever, dude.
Yeah.
You were in the best shape I've ever seen you. You've had, you know, a little baby fat your whole life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got
shook
abs.
It. Yeah, I just brought in a nutritionist, and you know, when they're sitting there like watching every little thing you eat, you stop the snacks.
You're bad.
It's bad.
Snacks, desserts.
Snacks and candy,
yo,
candy.
There's candy all over this house, strategically placed, so anywhere he goes, it's already there for him. Sour stuff he likes. And sour,
it's bad. I'm a fat,
chewy.
I'm a fat kid at heart. I think of that from dad. I remember like we would eat Oreos. We would be eating Oreos and milk.
Yeah.
It's like the bat, and it's like it releases dopamine.
You're
so happy. And
I met a girl once.
Yeah.
I met a girl once who was like, yeah, my mom raised us on an all healthy organic diet growing up. You know, we had all kinds of, we know where our food came from. And I was like, damn,
that's dope.
You turn into the hormone.
We were eating Hamburger Helper and milk. Bro, I think about this often, how we would drink milk with dinner instead of water.
It's odd.
And I sit there and I'm blown away.
It's also odd that we now think it's odd. Like, trust me, we know the majority of people listening to this still drink milk. We love it. We get milk.
People still drink milk?
Yes.
I drink milk.
That's
bro.
Terrible.
Yeah, no, and I only know this because him.
It's terrible for you, bro.
What's wrong with milk?
Cancer, first and foremost.
Cancer?
It's terrible for you. It is the worst thing in the fucking world.
Milk's very bad.
What about,
it
like,
is terrible for you.
What about like McDonald's?
Same.
Even worse.
Same.
Poison. Are we really going with that milk and cancer? Is that the
110%?
Really?
Milk is awful.
I was always told it was calcium.
Bro, if you are no athlete in the world, drinks fucking milk.
Oh, got milk? No.
What does it do
no.
for you? Calcium. It makes your bones strong. Then just take a fucking calcium pill, you idiot.
This is news to me. This is fucking.
And by the way,
he drinks whole milk.
And by the way, vanilla almond milk.
Often,
vanilla
though.
Almond milk after 1 month. Tastes better.
Yeah, it does. It's almond water. Whatever,
GP.
It is
cool
almond water.
Cool
it is almond water. It's
are
not
you,
milk.
What do you think of this,
milk.
Greg? Our dad from Ohio, look, born and raised. What
about? Milk.
You drinking
you
milk?
You cool with all this milk slander?
I drink goat milk fresh from
yeah,
the goat.
Yeah, but that's not
no,
what
you
we're...
Don't.
That's not.
No, you don't, because you don't have a goat, and no, you don't.
Actually, I do, because I barter up in the mountains.
You barter?
I believe
you barter for goat milk in the mountains.
What was the trade exactly, sir?
I let them bring your cattle through the ranch.
The cattle through the ranch in exchange for goat milk.
Got it.
We're swapping cattle access for goat milk.
That's dope.
Where did you get
bro, that's dope. That's dope.
Living in the 1800s.
Are you on the Oregon Trail? You're going to die of dysentery.
That's dope. So you started.
Congratulations. You're going to have to ford a river, Greg.
Are you a fiction writer?
And you started drinking goat milk when you were 50 fucking four.
Who'd you?
So you have all these years of drinking stupid ass milk, and you have a dad bod.
He's a dad.
No,
he's a dad.
His arm looks great. No, yo, his arm looks great.
No, he does. He is in good shape.
No,
actually, he
his
is in
arm,
good shape.
That dude, that's a big fucking muscle.
He is in good shape, actually.
Who'd you bought?
But imagine if you didn't add all those extra calories when we were eating. It was, by the way, if it's a salad maybe and milk, then cool. We were eating Marco's pizza with ranch. And chicken fries,
this
JoJo
is
fries.
Fucked up that you did this.
We, bro, you made me fat, and I'm actually pissed off about it because I didn't know any better. And oh my god, I'm so mad. And there was this stupid. Wait. Oh, fuck you. There was this stupid bullshit around finish your plate,
bro.
Finish your plate, bro. Grandma Arlene would have saved those leftovers, and she was hungry. Finish your plate. Because your ancestors didn't have food. Shut the fuck up. I wasn't hungry, but I had to finish my plate. And you made me fat. I would have a six pack like Logan.
This show is.
You just need a good old hug.
I'm sorry.
Okay. What if this show spawns scrawny children? Who don't drink their milk, get osteoporosis, don't eat their vegetables. Like, they're going to be sitting there just fucking eating Go-Gurt or some like dumb shit now.
Hold on.
No, you
never
have a balanced diet.
I know you're going to get mad about the Go-Gurt slam. You love Go-Gurt, don't you?
Just be careful.
Okay, we need to have You need to have a balanced diet with multivitamins, etc. But every person has access to a motherfucking Google now and can look up what the fuck should I eat.
We're getting checkers.
We didn't have that before.
We're getting checkers, cheeseburgers.
We didn't have that before. So every person has the ability to make themselves healthy now.
Hold, and by the way, I won't most times. Like, because I hear what you're saying, and the audience does too. We know these things, Jake, but, you know, sometimes that plenty spicy there? Chicken sandwich
90-10. It's a little 10. Different.
Moderation is the key to life.
90-10, 80-20.
Moderation is the key to life. Health is wealth. Sound body, sound mind.
You gonna have a kid?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I saw a tweet. I think it was a tweet or an Instagram post from the wife of yours that said, you know, baby fever or some shit after you had that knockout.
Should we donate our, or should we put our sperms in a sperm bank?
Definitely. What does that do?
Man, imagine if something were to happen.
Even a real bank.
Like if you get hit in the dick.
Which has happened to me, which is, dude, there was a point where I almost like I lost a testicle. Yeah. Like, God knows.
From a chair.
God knows. And we're at that age, like, man, I wasn't going to do it if earlier than 24, like if something were to happen, like bad, whatever. But now it's getting serious. I'm an adult.
You want to go together?
To the sperm bank and all jerk bank? Off together?
No, we could probably
what
do
what happened
separate.
If we mix?
Probably do this.
This kid.
No, that's a horrible idea.
Greg Paul brags about getting, how much you think you could get?
I've been offered $100,000 a load.
$100,000 a load, he said. It's a brag of his.
Was he real bad at pulling?
Excuse me, what?
Was he real bad at pulling out too?
Can we clarify?
No. That's, oh, shit. Okay, sorry.
That's fucked up,
Mike. All right, GP, were you really bad at pulling out? I can't even ask the question at all.
I'm what I can do. My girlfriend's here. She's remarried. My kids are here.
Sorry, Jed.
God dang it. Yeah, guys, if you could see,
they're literally standing
if you could
next
see
to each
the,
other.
The configuration, the ex-wife, the girlfriend are standing next to each other. It couldn't have been an any more awkward. It couldn't have been an any more awkward.
This is why we don't talk about this.
I mean, I could ask them both, and we could get
No. New Year's is coming up. You can eat food. You can drink alcohol. You can smoke if you want. What are you doing now?
I mean, we're having Christmas in Puerto Rico, which is
sounds
I'm
beautiful.
I'm looking so forward to all of us just spending time together. I got us all. I don't know if I should. I'll say it. I got us all pajamas, matching pajamas.
Oh man!
What? No wow. way!
What did you say? What did you say?
I got us all matching onesies.
But
dude, I got us all matching onesies.
How did y'all both surprise each other with matching onesies?
Bro, to be honest, y'all ain't ready for the Christmas that I created.
I'm so excited.
I made this shit so magical. I got y'all all dope ass gifts.
While you were in camp?
Yes. It was like my thing in camp. I got my team gifts and I got y'all gifts. Fuck. And honestly, there is not a gift that you could get me that is better than the gifts I'm giving you.
I'm so pumped, dude.
Jake,
I
got you a gift that's better than... I got you a one-of-kind handmade gift.
What? Why would you...
will not be matched.
Hold on. I also want to say I think my gift might be better.
Shit, you might be right. It's a competition. It's a Christmas competition.
All right.
I got a good gift too for you guys.
Oh, this is getting good.
Fuck. All right, well, the viewers will have to tune into our Instagram stories to see who gets the better gift.
Oh, hold up.
We'll have a poll.
I want to say something. I am doing something on Christmas. It's a good time to say it. For my Pokemon fans, my collectors out there, I got something big. Y'all may have seen on my Instagram, I purchased the only known sealed case of first edition Pokemon boxes in the world. There's 6 first edition boxes in it, sealed and authenticated. The premium on this thing just was too appetizing for me because I continue to break open Pokemon boxes. And for every time I do that, the rest go up in value. So, I got this box. And on Christmas, I'll be breaking open a first edition box again.
Unreal.
And we'll be giving away the 36 packs to people who are tuned into the live stream on Whatnot. Whatnot, the live auction platform that I'm an investor in. I'm hosting a a Pokemon box break in the first edition packs, which last time sold for $36,000 each, and someone pulls a Charizard, that's a big come up. So pay attention. Christmas is going to be good for all of
those
us.
Those packs are for sale. Those packs are for for auction or for sale?
No.
Logan,
we're giving
just
them
giving
away.
Them away to anyone who's got it.
Logan donated a card for Boxing Bullies, and it was like, I think it was one of the most expensive
Pokemon
auctions.
Card. Yeah, it was a top. It was,
It went for 10 times the price of what it actually would be worth. You make me like Pokemon. Like I,
dude, it's insane to see kids come up to me. Kids, this is like how I'm capturing the youth. This is odd. I didn't see this coming. Titus,
he loves Pokemon.
Loves Pokemon. We broke open some packs together.
That's crazy.
Kids, they're like, well, I love Charizard. and now too, you remember watching the fighters, like the posters of them in the basement when we work out, and the way they'd inspire us, and the way that we'd want to go to wrestling practice and try to be like Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
that's you. That's you now.
Wow.
Now you're beating the shit out of those guys that were on the posters.
Yeah, that is weird.
Seeing the ripple effect that is happening in 10 to 15 to 20 years when the superstars of the next generation come up to either of us and say that they were inspired by us, those moments are I'm looking forward to them, and they're going to be so special.
That is dope. I guess as Mike Tyson, that like must be one of the coolest things. You know, like
he inspired everyone,
including me. That's what I'm saying. Like I told him that
ripple effect is insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's weird to think about.
Because then you're going out and, like
some little motherfucker watching this right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Some little motherfucker.
Little ass.
Some little piece
little
of
Jimmy.
Shit.
Hey, Jimmy in Wisconsin.
Tuscaloosa.
You little fuck.
There's always one person, by the way, with the exact name from that exact state that reaches out.
Yeah,
like, hey, thanks for
they think we knew it was their name.
No. They just wait. Mark from Kansas.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's a great boxer.
Broach.
Be awesome if he were to get back in the ring with someone.
You don't even have to. It's not even about being a great boxer. It's about being an entertaining fighter.
Yeah.
And that's what Mike was.
Who do you think he could fight?
He has a fight this year coming up,
like locked
apparently
in? Really?
Yeah, I'm talking to his manager. I want to commentate on it. So Johnny, Mike, Azeem, let me commentate.
Oh, cool.
Maybe Logan and I both commentate.
Oh, cool. That could be fun. Is there anything else?
Come up with something quick.
Me?
No, Jake. You want to do a draft thing?
You
want to
beat my
drafts?
Ass? Oh! You got good drafts. Your tweets.
Yeah, I got some good drafts.
Maybe read
that,
some.
That's good. Is this a new segment?
Yeah, Dylan came up with it.
Smart.
You should see my drafts. This is why we keep Dylan.
Bro.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this 2 days ago. I said my drafts are lit. But
about to find out. All right. Yo, drafts are so funny because like
I'm laughing straight to the bank.
Why does it look like Conor McGregor ate Conor McGregor? That's my first one.
Okay.
He's so thick now.
Save draft. Draft. Quarterback money, a bunch of money emojis.
Wish we were more.
Ayo, Patrick Mahomes. We made the same amount of money this year. What do I do with this shit?
I'm naming my son Boner Man. That's a draft.
Oh, this is a good one. When people used to call me irrelevant in 2019, I just smiled to myself. Didn't say anything back. They weren't wrong, but I reminded myself that I created being relevant.
Sometimes I stand by the rotisserie chicken stand at the grocery store because I like how warm it is.
As a man, my biggest goal in life is leaving myself as little time as humanly possible before my flight to arrive at the gate.
Says, never have I ever. I'm about to sue at Jake Paul and his team for defamation and of character because I ain't ever asked nobody to be on an undercard of no YouTuber. My draft is you should sue your parents for giving birth to you.
You can't recreate history, but you can make it. That one wasn't funny, Dylan. That's
you can't create.
You want to go back to maybe getting rid of Dylan or no?
Dylan, dogs are just conscious teddy bears. Why? These are actually kind of dope. Why the drafts? Dogs are just conscious teddy
it's
bears.
It's so true. It's so true. Dylan wants us to be nicer.
This is my new fault.
Oh yeah.
I want to bring that up. Real quick.
Dylan.
He was very heartfelt last night. Like when he told you that, I think there was a couple tears coming out of his eyes. It was pretty, bro. He goes, I'd really like for you guys to start being a little nicer. I mean, we fire him every show. By the way, I gave
nicer
you
nicer to who?
I gave you money. I gave you money at 11 last night.
We need.
I want it fucking back.
We were bullying Dylan at a Boxing Bullies event.
Dylan is your guys' backbone. 100%. He even carried the Boxing Bullies event.
Well, unfortunately, the backbone is actually we give that to Caleb, but we'll give him like, can we give him like the ankle? Would that, you cool with the
He's
ankle?
He's great. He's great. Superstar.
You doing a press tour?
Yeah, they want me to do some shit.
Like, when's the last time you've been to New York?
I don't know. Shit. Yeah, they want me. I got a PR chat. They want me to do some shit. I don't know. I don't really feel like talking to people. You want to know why?
Why?
I don't know why. I just don't feel like it. I've talked to everybody. What else do I got to say?
Well, why? And why not?
Yeah, it was a great fight. I worked so hard. Like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's right. Like me. That's what press tours are. It's celebrities saying, like me. buy my stuff. That's what a press tour is. Is buy me.
Why would you go sit on Huffington Post or Fox News to get less views than sitting in front of your brother and his friend and saying the same fucking shit?
Flex without flexing.
World's number one podcast.
No,
shout out Dylan.
It
by
is
the way.
True, but like, what is that? That's just like traditional media is like.
You don't fuck with it?
No, I fuck with it. It's still important, but it's like.
I feel it's getting less and less important. Imagine in 20
years.
There's
no authenticity.
That's
you
why.
Have a certain
That's
amount
the
of
issue.
Time to
That's
make.
The issue.
You have a certain amount of time to make something that people want to watch, and you know the perils of that. It's the detriment. It's the reason we ended up in the press in bad ways.
Yep.
There's no authenticity. And
I realized this. I noticed I called it a burnout towards the tail end of my vlog days. And a lot of creators have this. And I feel like I've discovered actually what my burnout is. And it's an exhaustion. It's an exhaustion from being inauthentic for so long. Dude, that sucks.
It sucks.
Having to put on a different version of you to try to impress people you don't even know. That's what burnout is. That fucking blows. Yeah. That's why I'm so happy right now, man. And able to just go. You said it earlier. And I'm again so blessed I get to do this. I literally only do what I love now.
Yeah,
and I'm only going to be myself. And I can do that. The whole fake it till you make it thing. Fuck that.
No.
Fuck that for me. No.
Okay.
Fuck that.
It is the
no
best,
more faking it ever.
It is
ever,
the
dude.
Best thing. That the whole time that I've been doing all this shit, that my favorite thing to hear is you're exactly the same as you are on camera in real life. That's the best thing you could ever fucking hear, dude.
My security made an interesting note to me. He's pretty sharp. He pays attention and he's very observant. He said something so interesting, a difference between you and other clients. When people see you, they think they know you. They think they have a developed relationship with you. With other celebrities, right? You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are these people? Right. You know pretty much exactly who the fuck I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so people see me. It's like, yo, what's up? Because I had this same experience with Miley Cyrus once. I've talked about this before. She walked by me once. I'm like, yo, that's Miley Cyrus, right? Hannah Montana, what's up? She doesn't know who the fuck I am at the time. She probably still might not. But like, she was such a familiar face growing up. That I had.
You felt like you knew her.
Exactly. And people feel like that about you and
no,
me and any creator.
Yeah.
It's actually a perk of being a creator, like you said.
It's like
cool.
We're friends without being friends.
It's cool.
That's why I don't like to call fans fans. My fans, fans. I like to call them friends.
No, they're just paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Which is dope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. All right. That's it. I think we're done. No? We're good?
Thank you, guys.
Jake, you're the best, bro. Congrats on everything.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bro. This has been a great episode of Impulsive. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. Go follow Jake on Instagram @JakePaul. See you next time. Take it easy. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.